spot.
So you were suggesting that there's 2 months and then there's two more months later, each one should be reduced to a month?
Or less.
Okay.
It's pretty tough to go there, but a month would be nice.
Yeah.
Like down, cut back 1 month in the fall, 1 month in the spring.
So April or May, we could be...
Well, these pages was 1 month.
Yeah.
And there's at least another load out there.
Oh, yeah. Every week, we're there.
So which would be the best month to keep it open? May and September?
Probably May. May and...
April 15th to May 15th.
Probably May and October.
Okay.
Right, you got your leaves falling in the fall, and then, whatever. So probably keep it open May and October.
And any other time there's a charge?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Something for everybody to think about. And
yeah.
I know, it is what it is, but... you know, it used to be we could chip some of that stuff, but then we end up with nobody wants bugs in their chips thrown it all over the yard, so it was a great concept, but there was a few that liked it for landfill,
yeah.
But other than for what we thought might happen with them for gardens and stuff, really didn't happen. So I don't think, chipping everything, we still end up with leaves.
Okay.
Cut it back to 2 months a year. You know?
You mentioned, Andy, two cameras aren't working or something like that?
There's a couple cameras that need to be looked at, and that's just a case.
Andy, you should come to me for some of this stuff.
I did tell you earlier that.
You should come to me for some of this stuff.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
We're here right now anyway, so going forward. Councilor Peckman?
Just one more thing that might sort of change the flow of the traffic, and that is where the electronics bin is.
Yes.
If that could be sort of another spot, and maybe the tent, which could accommodate, you know, more vehicles over it, the tent further closer to the fence, and the electronic bin somewhere else. Like that thing is a source.
Do you think maybe if we swap spots?
I was thinking about it, but the one problem is with backing the bin in there and the way the door is open.
Right.
But on the north side of the recycling bins, there's space there if there was some, you know, fill put into that area. So that whole stretch, not right now, and it might actually increase the traffic flow of people who are recycling if they can go on the north side and the south side. Because there's doors on either side of those recycling compartments.
I wonder, but it's a little tight with the bottle depot right there.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is just to maybe look at different ways that, you know, we've made a couple improvements, but maybe there's some other things we can do to improve the flow of traffic.
Maybe once I get rid of those tires, I can stick it in beside the recycling, beer bottle recycling, and then put the electronics beside that. Then put the tent over on the other side, or just leave it open. We'll see.
Mm. Yeah, that's just a minor detail, but
yeah,
doing a good job out there, so thank you.
Yeah. Thanks,
Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Open up to the public, too. Anybody, I don't know who's on Zoom with any comments?
Put him to sleep.
Councillor Hassan.
If there's no public want to speak right now, I have no solutions to anything that was mentioned here because I have no time to think about it, but I think something, Greg, you should keep in mind is the township purchased more property beside the transfer station quite a few years ago, so just keep that in mind. If there's any, if you're in a little short of space, we could expand further in Lees Road. I'm sure you probably know where the border lines are. If that could accommodate anything such as a spot to put brush or leaves. Anybody that's up, that's all they're bringing in. So I don't know if that's a possibility.
And we hope that MOE isn't listening.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Like what we're doing right now, we'll just keep going that way for a while because to open that up for a stump dump is another... we could do it, but it's different.
Well, we were fortunate to get the transfer station when they closed the actual dump. one particular place that you can have approval for your refuse, and that's at that location. I know we bought the other 30 acres beside it, but now it's sitting there and we can't use it for this, for that reason. Unless we have new people at MOE and they're able now to reconsider. But at the time, that was a reasoning that you couldn't use that for brush. We thought of that at the time, but
I still thought about it.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's in our back pockets. But how can we? I think that's down the road. That'll be our option moving forward.
I'm just wondering if we could apply.
Maybe apply again.
Apply? Yeah, sure.
As an option. I can't see them refusing us with the increase in our population over the last few years. It's obvious we're going to need more space for, you know, stuff like that. So if you think it's a possibility, I would think, look, we should apply.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we can do that.
Okay, any other comments? Transfer station? We have resolution 23-338, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of Kelleran does hereby rise and report from Committee of the Whole at
7:37 p.m.
and reconvene into the regular session of Council. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you for coming out. Resolution 23-339, moved by Councillor Ryman, seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough is hereby approved the minutes of the May 2nd, 2023 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Siegel. And we'll read the resolution first of all, put it on the table. We have resolution 23-340, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Kelleran is hereby received consent application B05/2023A and B, Siegel, and approved the application subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of part-time dedication. Two, confirmation from the Director of Operations that each new lot can accommodate an entrance onto Burnex Road. Three, 911 addressing at the time of submitting an entrance or building permit. And four, payment of any applicable planning fees. Open it up for discussion, first of all, to Council. And then, well, we could actually start Patrick is here from the Planning Board. Maybe he can give us more information.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's a consent for two new lots on each of two lots on Burnett's Road. And I can answer any questions that Council may have.
I had one question to get us started, I guess. They reference a previous consent. And of course, going back so far, my memory isn't that great. I think it was B44-2007. And I don't know whether that rings a bell or not.
Yes, we looked into it when they came in to apply, and that's what created these two lots. That's what made these lots separate.
So just the two of them at the time? Or were there four or five of them? That
actually, I believe the Diamond property was part of this one.
Right, that's what I wondered.
Yep.
And like I'm trying to get a copy of that, but I'm not sure. We don't go back that far, I guess. I don't think it's even on the planning board that far back. So.
I do have a copy of the file.
Okay. I think that would be useful just to see if there are any conditions attached at that time. I'm not sure what it said. And I know since then, you're right, Diamonds has been divided a couple of times. The only thing that concerns me, I guess, is that visually anyway, you've got two separate applications here and six potential lots, all on Burnett's there. And we've already had four from Diamonds, I think. So we're getting 10 in that one area just as you turn the corner onto Burnett's.
these two lots were separately conveyable because they have a consent stamp on them from the previous consent.
Okay.
So they are two separate lots, actually for the same owner.
Right.
And they can be because they have consent stamps and they meet the frontage and area, so there's no reason at the planning board to deny them.
Okay. And this particular property, I guess it was changed way back when from waterfront to rural. It doesn't touch the water, right?
It does not.
Okay. Yes, Councillor Zula.
So, Patrick, who owns that strip along the water?
It is. That's a good question. It may still be in the MCO. I don't recall who owns the property to the south, but it's it is a strip, and I was talking to Mr. Cito about the fact that that strip needed to remain so that these lots would not have water from them.
I called it up on the West Person Geography Network, and when you click on the one piece of property to the west with the farm out at the out further, it takes in that whole piece. So it seems to come right around that bay as well, the person who owns in the middle there.
Right.
I'm not sure who that is, but and maybe that could even be looked at. I think it's 602 Herd, I'm trying to think of what it said, Herdwell Road. That was the address, but other questions from council? I guess the one that popped up as well, since the two separate applications, you might know better than we would, were the two separate fees paid, or is this all rolled into one?
I believe it was two separate fees. I'll have to check into that. I didn't see the question.
Well, it's important in the sense that there's one planning report, and yet they're two separate applications.
Right.
And so, I mean, it almost stands to reason that there'd be two application fees because what you do for one, you have to do for the other as well, even though it's somewhat relative to this.
Right. I'm not sure, report why, what else, what different you would say from one to the other.
No, I mean, the properties are, you're getting substantially the same. You're getting the two severed and the one retained. The different sizes, of course, for frontage and that. But
fairly similar.
Similar. I guess the other question of this too, I checked our official plan, 5.8.2.10. I don't expect you to have it in front of you. It said that the preference for this township was that any lots, it's not to preclude any lots being built or severed on regular roads, but that they want internal roads as much as possible. That's right in the plan.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, was that even a consideration? So you wouldn't have all of the traffic backing out or driving out onto Burnett's Road on that corner if an internal driveway. I know it's a lot more expense. So.
Of course. I don't believe that was a consideration. I think we just looked at frontage on Burnett's and the requirement for the driveways to look at. I think it's important.
Great. Yeah, and the 10 meter from the center, I guess that was already dealt with before in the previous severances, so we wouldn't have to put that in as a condition.
Correct.
Yeah. Councilor Ryan?
Can you describe the basic differences between a plan of subdivision versus these, which are just severances? In other words, what other hoops or hurdles would they have to go through?
You may have to do groundwater testing. For one, an environmental might be triggered also.
And internal roads as well? Maybe?
Usually a plan of subdivision includes a road.
Okay. Because it does seem to me that we're introducing six lots here and then plus the ones on the Diamond property, that's potentially eight entrances onto Burnett's, I think. I think I'm right about the Diamond one, isn't that right?
Right. None of it's going to go on the hurdle as an option.
Yeah, but and it does seem to be a lot of traffic jumping on right there, which is no doubt the busiest part of Burnett's Road because everybody that lives further up the road has to go through there, right? So.
Yeah, up a bit further from the mailboxes and that. I think it's above.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It could be a congested area, certainly. I'm not sure either. Maybe you don't have any information on this. Just looking at the mapping, there looked to be another three potential lots as you go up to Floods Lane. They look to be all separate large pieces of property. And is there potential there for future severances of those lots? Oh, I know you can't forget those.
Not to mention the east side of the road.
Maybe you can take that down so you can get a copy of it. You're just looking for a map. So. Seen that consent, as I said, the 2007 one, but was that CETO in 2007?
Yes.
Okay, and then there was another CETO in 2013, was it? Or, where he'd already severed a couple of pieces.
I think.
And that's when it changed from waterfront to rural.
That was the I think that was the more recent one, which is from waterfront to rural. I definitely have to include by this.
Yeah.
Should have brought it with me today.
Another thing. I know in our sorry. It's on.
What's on? Speak into
me? Yes. Okay. I don't know if this has ever happened, but what if the director of operations does not agree that each new lot can accommodate an entrance onto Burnett's? I mean, it's a condition, but what if it can't be met? What if it isn't agreed and can't be met by the director of operations? Would then the whole severance be null and void?
I think you probably look at alternatives, and, like an internal road or something like that.
Okay. Just seems to me it is, we're putting a lot of new entrances onto Burnett's, right? So.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular piece. It's further your level, I think. And, there's no—I don't know whether you've been out to the site or not, but I'm just trying to remember what it looked like driving in there. But
I have not actually.
No. I'm just wondering if that's consideration for traffic flow, if we should even be looking at it, maybe to see, because my concern is, as I said. If this continues, then we do have a major development along there, which might be a concern. I don't know. I'm certainly with subdivision, you have more controls, you have more public input, and obviously more cost. And eventually you get all those lots in the long run anyway. I mean, so whether it be a subdivision or consent approval. And that's the question in all of it. If you're just trying to have more control, I guess, more regulations, then you would go the route of subdivision. But are you really accomplishing much more in that location? Like sometimes it involves lighting and different things. Yeah. Yes, Councillor Zuma.
So I'm just going to put this out there. So say that the one retained with the two severed at the beginning of going into Burnett's Road, that was, we just had that application in front of us, okay? And say there were two different people that owned these. So would that make a difference in our whether or not we'd approve it? Because what I'm trying to say is that because the same person owns all these here, is that why we're sort of hesitating? Because if this, say, the one came forward and we said, okay, And then, like in a year from now, this other one came forward in a different name. And so we're still having the six entrances on Burnett's Road. And just.
Yeah, no, personally, it's nothing to do with the ownership. It's a question of what we're building here.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have anything to do with the ownership, but
it almost seems to be, right now there are certain rules that we're following. It's almost like a first come, first served.
Mm-hmm.
And once you reach a certain point, then you have to decide, okay, you came later, now you have different rules and regulations to follow, because we're getting a built up area here and we don't have any services for that.
Right.
We're not getting any extra money for services. And that's the only concern I have.
Yeah.
And I know we had a question before, even with Manitowoc Estates, when they went in and built that subdivision, we had asked at the time, now you're accessing through Burnett's Road, and why not some money up front? Because it's another subdivision on a subdivision. And they just said, no, we don't have to, and we're not going to. So they were driving all the heavy trucks and everything, developing their subdivision over a subdivision that was already developed. And they didn't charge any extra. So my only concern here is that all this, and that's a year-round road Burnett's now too. You have each of those lots developing. Who pays for the road? I'm putting it back in the condition. Certainly the people, the developers aren't going to do it because it's not a subdivision. You can't, even when we tried it through a developer, it didn't work. Through individual property owners, all that's going to happen here is individuals are going to buy it, I would think, each lot. That's the way I see it happening. And then they would each bring in their own construction, et cetera, to build up. And eventually the township will be responsible for maintenance of that road in the sense of keeping it up and any repairs that have to be done to it.
So Burnett's Road was just redone, right, in the last few years?
I think it was...
Major work done on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should hold up. But, well, you know yourself what we went through before with the golf course as an example in Balsam Road. And that's what tends to happen over time. But as you say, it doesn't really matter who's doing it. We just have to decide which route we're going to go here, and at what point do we say these aren't just sense any longer, because our official plan does say you have to determine that a subdivision plan of subdivision is not required. So, and that's how you get through with consent, and it'll be council decision to make here.
So if they were not, so you're saying if they had to do an internal road, like if they had to do an internal road for these?
Well, I'm just saying that's in our official plan, and it's that's the preferred choice.
So. That would be up to them to decide where the road would go from? Like, would it go off Herdville Road down?
Either off Herdville or off Burnett's, with one driveway as opposed to six.
Oh.
But Patrick's going to help us out here.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, in the case of the Diamond one, maybe that land might have been a suitable size, might have fit a subdivision if wanted to do it that way. Obviously, the neighbors that were opposed to those lots thought that maybe it should be planned subdivision, but didn't want the subdivision lots.
Right.
I think in this case, these lots, it doesn't seem to me that they would lend themselves to plan a subdivision, but maybe shared driveways, if that might be an option.
That's in the official plan as well, so. I don't, never know where shared driveways, whether in the future, whether people get along.
That is something we certainly can't control.
But that would cut down on the number coming off there.
In terms of repairs to Burnett's Road, if we believe that they will be needed because of the construction activity, can we impose a condition or ask for a deposit to cover damages to the road?
Yeah, the development charters, I don't think we've ever done that here, so. I mean, you can, I suppose, in a plan of subdivision, you can set that up, but with individual consents, I don't think that's.
There is a It's not much, but there is a $750 deposit, driveway deposit, that once you're built, the road is inspected, and if you didn't do any damage to it, you're refunded the $750.
Right. Yeah, I don't know who determines degree of damage and repair to what it used to be. I mean, our lakeshore is a good example, and now we're into trouble there, of course, too, with all the water lines that were allowed to go under the water, or under the road, and they were to return the road to the original state as well, but obviously the road's not in its original state. I don't know if we blame water lines on that, but yeah, there is a $750 refundable, as you say. That's not making any money for the township, that's just... Yeah.
Well, it would recover $4,500 approximately, but which isn't...
Well, no, that's refundable.
Okay, but if there was damage, let's...
Oh, if there was.
Yeah. And from my observations during construction, bringing in heavy equipment, absolutely guaranteed to damage roads. So I don't see any means that they could not.
Other questions? Now, on this particular one, too, we're going on our own experience, certainly. We don't have a planning report other than just factually pretty well what's stated through the, you're the secretary for everything now, right? So.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. So, it's interesting because he is a planner and he could give his comments, but he's not working for the township as such as a planner. And I don't know whether council wanted to consider that in this case or just go ahead with whatever planner's report. And I guess I'll ask Anna this one, with the planner's report, who would pay for that? Would that be the township?
That would be, no, the applicant.
I'm just thinking, you certainly want an expert opinion on this, and I know it came up with the last application that, you know, what if down the road sort of thing, and now we see what can happen, and I'm not sure planners can help us out much more anyway with another opinion, because as Patrick says, it certainly follows all of the rules and regulations that we have, and it meets all the requirements. Leave that up to council to make a call on that. Get your final opinions, whether you want to ask, defer. Councilor Hassan?
Because it does meet all the criteria in our zoning bylaw and our official plan, though except for some recommendations in the official plan, I don't think we would need a second planner's report at the expense of the property owner. I would almost think if the township's going to feels development of this degree is maybe too much for certain roads, whether that could be dealt with if we do update our zoning bylaw, if we want to think certain areas or the whole area, the township in general should be stretched to 300-foot frontages, well, then maybe that's something we could consider in the future.
That's true. I'm in the process of working through the zoning that we have in place, 9512 now, and then the new one that proposed, the third reading repeal, and also with the appeals at the time. And I also compare it to Whitestone's and on what they have. Up the standards for particular lots, and I think theirs is the minimum is a 90 meter frontage, and we're at the 60. Mm-hmm. And I think they're at rather surprising. They were at for a lot size 2 hectare, which seemed rather large, and we're at 0.4. But we're at 0.4 because we reverted back to 9512. I know the proposed new, the updated bylaw, it was 0.8. And I think that's what the planning board is going on. reports, I see 0.8 throughout the reports, even though I think we're 0.4 at this point. Technicality, but no, and that's true, but I think we certainly have to look at that down the road and where we want. I mean, that's how built up areas began, I suppose. And you had certain regulations, and our rural residential was another one that's more restrictive as opposed to just rural. And so I think we have to look at that. But until we do, as you say, this meets the requirement.
And then I could add further to that what the climate of the need of housing, like lots, the demand and housing in the province, that just puts it in my mind that it's another reason to let it go forward without any further reviews, because there's people out there probably lined up to get these lots and get a home built for somewhere to live. So I think the climate is to keep the development going. And then I think when everybody gets their reassessments in a year or two, when that happens, they'll think, yeah, get more assessment going in the township to help offset my taxes, because no doubt the more the properties you have paying high taxes, that'll help cover costs that the rest of the taxpayers are helping to cover themselves right now. So that's on the plus side. I guess the negative side is, okay, yes, you have more people pulling on and off of roads, but that's up to the individuals. Make sure they stop and look. Just like where they, in the cities, they have a driveway every 60 or 80 feet. It's up to those individuals pulling out onto those busy streets, which are way busier than Burnett's Road, to observe what's going on around you. We're nowhere near that. So I think overall the planning we've done in the past is okay for the times we've had in the past, but maybe should we look at increasing frontages in certain areas in the township? Burnett's Road is a kind of a secondary road, but should it be looked at on roads like Herdville and Center Road in the future, where the speed limits are higher? So it's something maybe to consider.
Any other comments? So I've read the resolution. Moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. And I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Second application, B08/2023, HERF. We have resolution 23-344, moved by Councillor Askin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received consent application number B08/2023, HERF, and approved the application subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland dedication. Two, confirmation from the Director of Operations that the existing driveways of the retained and separate lots are suitable, and the separate lot can accommodate an additional entrance onto Center Road if required. Three, 911 addressing at the time of submitting an entrance or building permit. And four, payment of any applicable planning fees. I'll turn it over to Patrick. Do you have any comments to start us off?
Nope, no real comments. Just a consent on Mullies Road and Center Road. Existing driveways. A little bit of a different shape lot being proposed to draw around some existing structures.
Okay. Questions from council? So the intention is, as you said, off Hollies, I guess. I noticed it was just put in there as an add-on entrance on the Center Road if required. That wasn't in the original, I don't think, that came to us.
Yeah, I don't recall it being.
The addition was a suggestion by Greg, the Director of Operations.
Okay.
I think the one question, due to the fact that it is an irregularly shaped lot, that if there was a structure located on this lot or a septic system, does it have the required, is there a spot on here that would have the required setbacks to the lot lines to accommodate any future structures?
I know the retained lands are configured like they are to go around an existing septic, and I believe that there's enough depth for required setbacks for septics and structures that would have to be determined by before a building, of course.
Yeah, this question came up before. I know at the planning board, and I guess the question was, I think it was from Whitestone, what are we approving, just to sever a lot? And then the next step, as you said, can they actually build on that, meet the requirements through North Bay, Mattawatt, et cetera. But my question all along was, of course, should we be severing a lot that can't be built on? But as you say, it looks as if, and I suppose that's up to the owner to determine, where would I build to meet the setbacks and requirements?
It may be a case where it should possibly be reconfigured a little bit to give a little more depth in the center of the center lot along Center Road.
It does seem to squeeze off there, yeah. So, now further to the south, it looks like it widens up and it looks like there's more room. But I guess the reconfiguration, you'd have to ask the applicant. I guess that's to go around certain buildings that exist already. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay. And septics, as you said, too. So. Councillor Zulak.
So, do you know, Patrick, is the person that's retaining it, is their intention to sever this off and then sell that property?
I don't believe so, but I can't really tell for sure what someone will do with the severed lot.
So, but regardless, if they want to put any buildings or anything on there, they have to go through the township. So, I mean, if somebody did purchase that piece of property, they would probably check to see whether they could build on it or anything. You would hope they would. Otherwise, they're just buying a piece of land, or if the owner, I'm sure the owner, if he's just severing it and going to keep it also, he probably would know what he can do with it and can't do with it.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
You just don't want a situation, you know, because it comes back to the township, of course. Why did you create that lot?
Yeah.
If I can't build on it. But as I say, that went through the planning board already in Whitestone, and it's on Wabashkesh, I think, and there were a couple of lands and lots that would have been very low, and the subject of flooding at certain times of the year, but it was still all approved. And so that all you're really doing right here is approving a severance, or considering a severance, not the next step, where you have other professionals come in. Now, we clarified that as well, because the centerpiece is 0.6 hectare, I think. And, I mean, all the reports, it's saying 0.8, but actually it's 0.4, right? So, we're okay there.
Yes.
It's
0.4?
Yeah.
According to 9512, yeah.
The minimum.
Oh, okay.
Minimum,
okay.
Yeah. Anybody online that wishes to comment on this one? Okay, no further comments. I'll put the question out. It's read already, no changes to it, no amendments. So, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. This 15.3 was just for Fern Harris had come up before with the closing of the road allowance meetings in Manitowoc. And just for the surveyors, understanding they have to know where to actually survey it before. We accepted it in principle, the closing of that and accepting another piece of property from her. But we just needed a location, because I know at the last meeting we talked about going right out to Harvey's Road, and that wasn't her intent. It was to be her driveway or where it's fenced off now. And so that's where she's having it surveyed, from the fenced off area to the water. And so the township would still retain the portion leading from the fenced off area, her driveway, out to Harvey's. So we'd still be responsible for that. And that was just to clarify for her surveyors that that's where they were going to do the survey. Okay, that's just information purposes.
Yeah.
Any more for later for Patrick, or is that what we got here? Is there anything else you saw that you could speak to? Any other planning matters? Don't think so. You're certainly welcome to stay and comment on all of this.
Get out while you can.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
To committee board minutes with recommendations for approval, we have resolution 23-342, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Keckman. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft minutes of the April 27th, 2023 special meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? And I think we thanked them for that already, so reduction in their ask. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Staff reports, we have T-2023-8, proposed 2023 budget, final revised version 5. Resolution 23-343, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Hassan. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report T-2023-8, the proposed 2023 budget, final revised version 5 from Treasurer Roshan Cantillo. Question? All the questions then? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Don't you say it was about time.
We can move that if we want to speed it up for him and do the bylaw now.
Yeah.
Save him from hanging around. That's up to you.
Then he might be able to go home.
If council was agreeable to that, to jump to the bylaw for third reading of the budget?
No.
Please.
This would be 344. So.
We have resolution 23-344, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Pekinen. Be resolved that the key council of the corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-35, being a bylaw to adopt the estimates of all sums required during the year 2023, the yearly budget, a third reading, and further passed the open council the 16th day of May 2023. Discussion? I mentioned before about the grant, and I noticed you have it under McKellar Market. $5,000 grant for a candidate today, and I'm still not sure. I know it's an in and out thing, it's not going to affect the actual figure. I'm not sure whether that can actually be used that day, but I'm not sure again what the cutoff time is for them to be told that if somebody else wanted to use it.
We already got the money.
Oh. Okay.
Sure.
money, so it's up to you guys, council, to decide.
How we use it then?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that takes care of that. Any further discussion on third reading, Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, I guess I should ask. I got a little bit of a question. I know we received some funding for the work on the St. Stephen's Historical Church, and we've also transferred monies from reserves that have been saved up over the years to continue with work on the historical church. Now, do we need to now set up another tender for stage two of that project? Okay, so I'm just wondering, at some point we'll have to give direction to staff to draft up a stage two for the St. Stephen's Historical Church to proceed with the work that we're budgeting for.
I think Councillor Kevin had an approach to that, didn't you, before?
Yes, and that's we had put out the first stage, the tender for the foundation work, and has the successful tender, has there been any correspondence or connection with the successful tender and that they're committing to this project this summer?
Yes, the proponent was forwarded the contract. It just hasn't been signed yet, but it will be in the near future.
Okay. So that's the first part, is that part of the project go forward, and then windows and painting and removal of the chimney is the next part of the project.
Yeah, I guess that would lead to my question, is whether we give direction to staff to prep another tender for that, stage two of the work?
I don't feel another direction is needed, as it was decided after. We did pass a resolution for the entire project, and then it was decided that we would first release the tender for the foundation, and then now we can, there was a previous resolution, so now we can just move forward with the second phase of the tendering.
Oh, okay, very good, thank you.
Sounds good. All the questions then, all in favor? None opposed, here. There may be some questions on the, I just saw that with the check run, but
okay.
I don't know if there's anything major. We can get to it quickly. We have resolution 23-345, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Keckman. Be resolved by Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller, is hereby received report bylaw 2023-03, the monthly bylaw report for April 2023 from the bylaw enforcement officer Chris Everett for information purposes. Discussion. Okay.
Regarding parking, two outstanding tickets expired due to our inability to transfer them to POA court. So, are there still ongoing issues, or has that been resolved?
It has been resolved.
Okay.
Both Mary Smith and I both now have access to the MTO ARIS program that we can research licenses if necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-346, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2023-02. Public Works Updates, April 2023, from Director of Operations, Greg Gossett, for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Ryan.
I do have my mic back. I'm just curious that we don't have anything on here, even a brief update for In-Homes Bridge, that given that it dwarfs all these other things by a magnitude of about $1 million, then it would be kind of useful to even have a paragraph that told us where it's at. So I'm not saying that anybody here can answer that, but it's frustrating that we don't include major items like that given the size of it. So
I do agree that it is frustrating. We have spoken to the Director of Operations several times about reports. ultimately the director of operations answers to you, so if
yeah,
want to.
It's good to get these reports, you're right, and then we just have to fine tune it, what more we want to see in it. Baby steps here, I guess, because we didn't get reports before, so
no.
We're starting to get them.
Agreed.
So we will pass that on, yes, I think that's a good idea.
Or could we schedule this when he's in attendance at a meeting so he could answer questions about
yeah,
it?
That's even better. Yeah.
But I know it's, I'm appreciative that we've made progress,
yes.
I'll say that. So.
Yes.
All the questions, all those in favor? Opposed, carried. Resolution 23-347, moved by Councillor Zunak, seconded by Councillor Keckner, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for April 2023 for information purposes. Discussion.
I just have one question. It's on page 3. It's Air Automotive Tracking Inc. Is that the GPS for the trucks? Because there's, I'm guessing, it says wireless tracking for, and it's all the same. So, right here.
Yeah, it's a tracking.
That's the tracking
yeah.
for the trucks, okay.
And this is on page 3 of 22, and it's I think I noticed in more than one location that the gas fuel for CBO and Public Works are on the same line here. Here's on fuel, so I guess it gets broken down.
It's broken down.
Down
one for the CBO, another one for the roads.
Right, so this is a check run report because it's going to Perry Sound Fuels, but then it gets broken down.
Yeah. That's correct.
Councillor Ryan?
Question, I see that we have on page 1 an impact amount for 17,222, and it's also a symbol, the same amount actually, on page 11. I know they are different. Going to say checks. No, they're not. Different dates on them anyhow. Can you explain why there would be two paid on or appearing on the same check run? Right, they're both identical in amounts, but the due date, I'm not sure of that. No, the due date is the same. And the three digits at the very left is a check number. So on page 1 where it says 206, is that the check number that was issued?
So where's the second one, if you don't
the know. Second one's on page 11, kind of middle of the page, under general government. And they seem to be the same, other than the second one says second payment April 2023, but
well, they have different dates on them. One's 04 or
123. You're right, and one's 04-19, you're right. But the due date is the same for both. Okay, sorry, that's where I was mistaking that. But do we frequently have to pay two payments in a month?
No, basically what happened in this case, the check got lost, so we ended up issuing the second check. So it was voided,
okay.
And it was issued second time.
Okay.
So that's why you see the number 2 in front of the number. So
yes, okay, that does explain it, thank you. It just I kept thinking I'm stupid or something just looking at it, so.
Actually, in this case, the check went to the, instead of the municipal services, it went to the MCAP.
Okay.
It's a mortgage company.
Okay.
So somehow the address got transferred, and they end up calling us that we got a check, which is, doesn't belong to us.
We like those checks, because then they had cash, so. And I have another question on page 17 at the top of the page. We're still paying via net, is that? That, well, it is true, obviously we did, but are we continuing to pay them?
As far as my understanding, that we are until the council decides that we need to cancel.
Right, we want to make sure that this is working. This is our second run at it, so we want to make sure you're right at some point. And I'm not sure how easy it is to transfer over if this one goes down, so that's a good question.
Okay, and am I right? I know that that you don't see the budget for, well, you don't pay the bills for the library. The library is paying a similar amount as well. So we're paying $340 a month.
I don't know what the library pays.
But logically, with Vianette, they'd
logically,
be paying the same as us.
Yeah, logically it would be.
Okay, and do we have any time frame of how long we expect to do this? I don't object to it on principle, I'm just curious about...
Well, it was suggested by a member of the public that we have a backup system if something goes down. If this is reliable, and I'm not sure two trials is enough to say that it's reliable, yes, we'll have to consider that. But I think we'd have to also check with the library. I don't know whether Dan has hooked them up yet to, not yet, to Starlink. So they're still using VNet, I guess. So we'll have to coordinate with them. And I'm not sure how much they're paying VNet or how much, whether they paid more than for the year or what they've done.
If I might, Carly, I sent you an email about the decrease in pricing for what used to be called Starlink Business.
That's correct, and we put in a service ticket to ask if that price will be the new cost, and we haven't received a response yet.
Okay. Just for the council's benefit, I mean, instead of paying 600 and, I don't remember, 600 and change, they reduced their price by half. So we were actually now paying, collectively, we're paying less for Starlink than we were for VNet. Or than we are for VNet, in truth. So that's significant. Right. They also did a similar thing on the residential side as well. Not that that's anything here. Just I just happened to be browsing and saw that story and thought I'm going to follow that through and see if that's in place. So,
so that's if they approve the ticket. Have we received that reduction? The confirmation that they will.
No, we haven't received any confirmation yet. But we did submit the ticket and we are waiting for a reply for that. Once they let us know, then obviously it will be credited to our account.
Sure. Hopefully that's the case. It probably would depend on when the contract was signed and, you know, when their promotional...
It was applied to every account.
To every account?
Every Scotia, every Starlink business account. I mean, I read the release, it's quite vague on the details, but it makes that blanket statement. They did a similar thing with the hardware costs on the residential side as well, but where they cut it from $7.59 to a $1.99 recently, and I have no explanation for why, but they did. And actually, if this works the same, you get a notification in advance of the payment being due. You should be receiving an email from Starlink that says, you know, your payment is due tomorrow or something close to that anyhow, and it'll tell you the amount.
So basically, they have our credit card, so basically we just get the notification, but then it does go through our...
I understand that, but you also get a notification. That would be the proof in the pudding that we're being charged the lesser amount, not the greater amount. But
if that happens, definitely we will get the notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Sounds good. Let's hope it happens.
Yeah.
All the question. Just for the preliminary checkup. All those carried? No, all those carried.
Thank you, Rashad.
Resolution 23-248, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize Fire Chief Robert Morrison and Clerk Administrator Ian Watkinson to attend the Essentials of Municipal Fire Protection Training Seminar presented by the Office of the Fire Marshal, the OFM, on Friday, June 23rd, 2023, hosted by the Municipality of McNenowan. Further, that any member of council wishing to attend may contact the clerk administrator to be registered for the training. Discussion?
I just wanted to say that there's no charge, there's no cost to this training whatsoever. It's another step that keeps us on top for our emergency management training. You can do it through online. But when Magnetowan was offering this to us for the day at no charge, to be able to get that one-on-one training, we felt was probably a better option.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay, so if you're interested, contact that. I guess you need to go fairly soon. Well, June 23rd. Are they providing a meal too, so they need to know numbers? Is that?
I don't know. They didn't just. They didn't say they were providing us lunch.
Okay. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I guess we have no takers at this point. Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Keckman, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the memo sent via email on May the 8th, 2023 from Forrest Pengra,